This is the WMRA Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 30th, 2026. I'm Chris Boros. Thanks to a grant from Augusta Health, the Waynesboro Family YMCA has installed new technology in their lower gym that combines virtual and physical play. WMRA's Randy Behage reports.
On a recent morning, 15 preschoolers scampered around a gymnasium at the YMCA. This gym was the recent beneficiary of a $13,000 grant from Augusta Health, which helped pay for a Lou interactive playground. The Lou system is essentially a projector with colorful ambient lighting and motion detecting cameras. It has a variety of games built in where kids can throw balls at targets projected on the wall, complete math and geography puzzles, or have a dance party. The Y serves around 150 children each year through their full-day preschool, after-school programs, and summer camps. This morning, the kids jumped and danced along with the animated characters on screen. Lou was founded by a father in Quebec in 2017, with the goal of elevating physical activity with immersive technology. Since then, it's been adopted by several school districts and community centers in North America and Europe, including nearby Sandy Hook Elementary School in Strasbourg. For WMRA News, I'm Randy Behage.
We have photos from this story on our website at WMRA.org or with the app. King Charles III and Queen Camilla of the United Kingdom will be visiting the Shenandoah Valley today as part of their state visit. The King and Queen are set to visit Front Royal as part of the town celebration of the United States' 250th anniversary. According to Buckingham Palace, King Charles will also head to Shenandoah National Park to meet with one of the area's indigenous communities and people involved in nature conservation. Camilla is slated to visit a farm in Fauquier County to highlight the two countries' shared love of horse racing. During the Youngkin administration, some members of the state's LGBTQ advisory board claim they were pushed out of their positions over ideological and political differences. Now Governor Abigail Spanberger has begun to remake the panel, as Radio IQ's Dave Cantor reports.
In March, Spanberger appointed 8 new members to the board. The 21-person panel is among 5 identity-based boards that advise the governor and submit annual reports on its work. Since this panel's first report in 2022, there's been a consistent refrain. LGBTQ plus children experience homelessness and mental health issues at a higher rate than their peers. Reed Williams is among the new Spanberger appointees to the board. She pointed out that the board's previous membership didn't include many women and said that access to healthcare is among her top priorities.
I think having that perspective of someone who, you know, had access to this care throughout my entire teenage years, and then now being an adult and experiencing trans healthcare as an adult, it's really so central to me that those voices be heard and that we listen to trans young people and their parents and their providers who are just really struggling right now.
The board's next meeting is set for May 15th, though no agenda has been posted. A March 20 agenda indicated elections for leadership positions are on the horizon. I'm Dave Cantor.
Harrisonburg City Council unanimously voted Tuesday night to table a rezoning request that would make way for a proposed apartment complex known as The Link. The Daily News Record reports that the request, which was introduced last August, would rezone the Lindsay Funeral Home property to build the 6-story apartment complex. Dozens of city residents packed the council chambers Tuesday night to share their concerns about The Link. The meeting ended shortly after midnight following a lengthy public comment period. Many expressed concerns about the size of the proposed complex and its potential impact on the downtown area. Most members of Harrisonburg City Council echoed those concerns. Council will take up the rezoning request again at their June 23rd meeting. Virginia is about to get a handful of new laws to crack down on debt collectors. Radio IQ's Michael Pope has this.
Governor Abigail Spanberger is signing a handful of bills that will create new rules for debt collectors in Virginia, making sure they can't zero out anyone's bank account, setting new standards for what they need to prove in court before they get a default judgment, setting a time limit for how long they can try to collect on old debt, and making sure they provide contact information when they sue people. Jay Spear is executive director of the Virginia Poverty Law Center.
You know, you get this warrant and debt in the mail, and you don't understand what it means, and you don't understand who's suing you, and then you're intimidated about going to court. What the legislation tries to do is say, give you a much better notice about why you're being sued, who's suing you, what is this original debt from, and why you should go to court if you don't think you owe the debt or don't think you owe the amount they're suing you for.
Ruth Rosenthal at the Pew Charitable Trust says these new laws will make sure people have a fighting chance when the debt collectors come after them.
They're making sure that if people get sued, they're getting contacted at the right location. They're making sure that if they end up with a judgment against them, that they are able to pay off that judgment without going bankrupt.
Rosenthal says Virginia has historically been at the bottom of the pile for laws around debt collection. Now, she says the Commonwealth will be a model for other states. Michael Pope.
According to a new report, Virginia fails to protect the civil rights of people experiencing mental health crises. The Disability Law Center of Virginia surveyed people who recently navigated the involuntary commitment system and found that physical restraints like handcuffs were commonly used, often for prolonged periods. Many respondents were also dissatisfied with the legal representation during their processes. The center's recommendations include new statewide restraint standards and mandatory disability rights training for law enforcement, attorneys, and clinicians. A new law will make it easier for Virginians to adopt solar in their homes, even if they don't have space for rooftop panels. Patrick Larson with partner station VPM News shines some light on plug-in solar.
Rooftop solar panels are a popular way to reduce energy bills and carbon footprint. But what if you're a renter or live in a multifamily building? State Delegate Paul Krizek carried a bill this year that makes it easier to install small solar panels that plug straight into the wall.
It gives people that live in the urban and suburban areas an opportunity to participate in energy affordability, protecting the planet, and not having to deal with red tape regulations.
Krizek's bill, which will take effect January 1st, 2027, sets some safety standards for the so-called balcony solar panels, but prevents localities and utilities from adding more regulations or fees for using them. The measure was part of Governor Abigail Spanberger's affordability agenda.
That's Patrick Larson reporting. This has been the WMRA Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 30th, 2026. I'm Chris Boros. Thanks for listening.